We live here? Yes, we are. All right, let's turn to Ephesians 4. Paul is speaking. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. And we can stop right there. There's a difference between the calling of God and what we call the work of service or our gifting. And often people get that mixed up. And I think it's very important that we understand it. Your calling has to do with your relationship with the Lord. It has to do with how you identify with the Lord. We're called to be His children. We're called to a life of faith. We're called to pick up our cross daily and follow Him. Calling has to do with the interaction of your heart with the Father's heart, listening to the Spirit, allowing the Lord to work in you the changes He wants to work. Out of calling comes what we call ministry and our service to the body. Now, when we don't have that grounding or foundation in the calling of God, and what is the calling Paul's talking about here? What is he's talking about being a prisoner of the Lord, humility, gentleness. You see, these are all qualities of spirit. They're an attitude of heart. If we don't have that, then when we enter into the service to the body, and a little bit later it talks about some are apostles, some are prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and a myriad of other ways that God expresses Himself through people's lives. Without that sense of calling, the ministry can be very easily become an ego trip. It's about our ministry, our place, our position. But when we're grounded in the calling in the Spirit, there's the brokenness, there's the humility. And then the ministry that comes out of that brings glory to the Father. I think church is real good about bringing people's awareness or making people aware of functioning, their place, having a ministry, serving. Often what church is not so good at is helping people find that private place with the Lord where they can discover their calling in the Spirit. Paul describes himself as a prisoner of the Lord. It's interesting he didn't say, I therefore the apostle of God come to you and here's what I'm telling you. Was Paul an apostle? Yeah, he was a great apostle. But that's not how he identified himself. The apostle was an office that expressed the anointing that was in his life. It expressed the Lord. His calling was, he recognized he was a prisoner of the Lord. Now, this word prisoner can bother us because who wants to be a prisoner? What does it mean? It means you're not free. It means you're confined. But truly, the state of freedom, the greatest freedom, is being God's prisoner. To be a prisoner of the Lord means that your life does not belong to you. You're not controlled by that independent ego. And so much of the church world today, and I know we've talked about this, is, you know, we want the will of God as long as we don't have to sacrifice our will. Yeah, we want God to bless us. I want anointing. I want power. I want this. I want that. We're looking at God to simply add to our life and make our life better. We're not saying, Lord, I'm giving up my life for your life. Now, this whole issue of calling, no matter what your function is in the body, if you're responding and experiencing the calling of the Lord, you recognize that you're His prisoner. Amen. It means you no longer live your own life according to your ego. You're confined to God's world. You're confined to God's will. What does that mean? That means you're absolutely free to do everything that God puts in your heart to do. It's a good thing. Being a prisoner in the natural, not so good, right? It means you've done something wrong. It means you're not free. Being God's prisoner means you're absolutely freed from the human ego and human pride to move in God, to live in God, and to express God's will. We go on through the chapter here, and I'm just going to read some verses, and I'm not sure where I'm going to stop, but I won't take too long. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit, I'm in verse 3. In the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, just also as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, in all. Okay. Unity, oneness, all these wonderful things that we believe in and have such a difficult time experiencing in this natural realm. Let's be honest. The church world will quote these scriptures over and over again. You hear them preached over and over again. But can any of us say, yes, that's my life experience? Again, when we are in our calling and we're in that identity of being God's prisoner, what comes out of that is oneness and unity. What comes out of that is a revelation that there is one Father. All that division and the devices of the enemy have no effect if we're walking in the humility of our calling. Goes on to say in verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace being God's unmerited favor, what we don't deserve, he gives us. And if we go on down, verse 11, this is of course what's most familiar with us, to us. He gave some of his apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, for the building up of the body of Christ. So much focus is put on that. We've got to recognize the gift ministries in the church. Yes, we do. We have come to recognize that we have apostles and prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. But has it really brought about the equipping of the saints, the building up the body of Christ, the way Paul has described? I don't think so, not yet. So often these ministries end up collecting people to themselves. And we have this group over here and that group over there, and everybody's into their own thing, their own group. People tend to idolize these ministries, put them on pedestals. This does not build up the body of Christ. You have people that can be following an apostle for umpteen years, and they still don't feel equipped to go out and do the will of God. They're dependent on that ministry, okay? Something has been messed up with this. It's not a problem that we don't have true apostles or true prophets and on and on. I think we do. But I think, again, we need to go back to the foundation. People need to discover their calling in God. They need to be grounded in that. And when they discover they are a prisoner of the Lord, there's that brokenness of spirit. They recognize the unity. They recognize the grace of God that's been given to them. Then they can rightly relate to the gifts that God gives to the body. And when they're in the midst of a prophetic ministry or an apostolic ministry, they don't make an idol out of them. They're not looking and saying, oh good, I have a Moses I can follow now. They're receiving the impartation from that ministry. They're submitting to receive Christ so that they're equipped to go out and speak the word of God to do what God has called them to do. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You see God's pattern. You have a body of people that are prisoners of God, giving up their life for his. God gives gifts to the body, and when it's rightly received and related to, the result is we all grow up into the fullness of Christ, which is his goal. Talks here about the unity of the faith. I think that's really an important point. It's not the unity of simply faith in believing that, let's say, this Bible is true. We can believe that the Bible is true and still the Bible may not live in our lives. We may not be experiencing the truth of this word. Unity of the faith. You remember when Jesus said when he returns to the earth, will he find what? Correct doctrine?
Faith.
Everybody agreeing with things, will he find the faith? Faith is what's happening with Bruce and Jackie right now. They're stepping out of the familiar into the unknown because God's speaking to them. That's faith. When your mind cannot give you the answers, when your human thinking doesn't dominate your life, and you're trusting God, and you're proving it by stepping out on what he's speaking, that's how God defines faith. Unity of the faith is all of us experiencing that type of faith. It's not mental assent to doctrine. It's all of us responding to the supernatural world of the Spirit and stepping out of what we're familiar with. Stepping out of our conditionings, our fears, into the unknown because we're listening to what God is speaking. You see, when you have a body of people all over taking that step, faith in God and willing to go into the unknown like Abraham, that's the unity of faith that produces results. That's what he's looking for. What does that lead to? Keep going. Knowledge of the Son of God, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, who God is. It leads to maturity and wholeness. Verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. As we become whole and mature, what's it saying here? You look at the body of Christ. You look at the church world. People can be pulled so easily, seduced so easily by different doctrines, teachings, by people that may have charisma. People are just shifted from one thing to another. As we truly mature in the Lord, it's like Jesus said, the prince of this world comes, but he finds nothing in me. That openness to the wiles of the enemy, the deceitfulness that comes from Satan, that moving that he brings on people's minds to seduce them away from their relationship with the Lord. You know, that happens as much in church as out of church. A lot of people go to church and are sitting there coming every week, but they don't have a personal walk with God. What's happened? They've been seduced away from the one thing that's important, their relationship with the Lord, and they've filled that void with religion. You can call it Christian religion. You can call it any other kind of religion. Jesus wasn't a religion. He was a person that expressed the Father. The book of Acts is not about a new religion being created. It's about the acts of people that were led by the power of the Holy Spirit. People that were expressing Christ, living epistles, expressing who Jesus Christ is. Now this whole thing of being tossed back and forth, that ends as we mature in the Lord. Because there's no openness for the enemy to get through to our thinking and pull us away from what God has revealed to us. What we need is to be able to stand on revelation that's solid. And revelation is God's personal touch in your life. Anybody can preach to you and you can say, amen, I believe it. And a week later, someone else can speak something different and you can be moved away. If it's all it is a thought in your mind, that thought can be shaken and removed. But when you hear something and it's God speaking to your heart personally, and it becomes a revelation, then that can't be taken. You're not tossed to and fro. The last thing it says, and we're going to stop, two more verses. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the word of God in love. Who is love? Not what is love. Who is love? God. When we speak the word in God's spirit and life, growth results. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Here we see the beauty of how the body of Christ works. not necessarily how church works, but how the spiritual body works. The word of God flowing from his mouth in his spirit through his people, every joint supplying, every person feeding one another in the spirit. The end result is we are built up and we grow because of that love that flows. If the love isn't flowing, if God himself is not the one flowing through the words that are coming, the words may sound good, they may be sound doctrinally, but no growth results. But when his love fills those words, we grow up into him. How does this all begin? Well, how do we identify ourselves? I am a prophet, I'm a pastor, I'm this, I'm that. If that's how you identify yourself, this chapter is a good theory, but it's not going to work very well. We are all prisoners of the Lord. When we can accept that and we can have that revelation of our calling in him and the brokenness that comes out of that, the rest of this chapter, as we've been reading, flows from that point. Amen. Would you like to stand? Bless the word to our hearts this morning.